I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus, as that is the name in which we have the promise that the Lord will meet with us as we gather together. Very warm welcome to everyone, and especially visitors with us, and some who are very familiar but returned for a little. It's good to have you, and pray God's particular blessing on you as you bless us by your time with us this morning. And just mention a couple of notices. I won't go through everything. You can read, I'm sure, the things that are printed out for you on the service sheet on page 2 especially, and also some items, suggested items for prayers. Maybe I should just emphasize that in the next few weeks I'm going to be taking a bit of annual leave that's left to me this year, but do send a note through if there's anything urgent. It means that next week our preacher is Paul Mackerel, and it's great to have Paul and Sue with us this morning, and I was going to ask that people especially pray for you preparing for next Sunday, but I'm going to do that anyway, and it's good that you hear that request. Can I also emphasize on the bottom bar on page 2, if everyone could please take a good look at what's suggested or what's proposed for the Bible study program for next year. We want to engage as many people as possible in that, and this is what we wish to do from the new year. And I would be looking for responses from you, from all the homes involved, in due course, before the third Friday in January. So please do pay special attention to that. And then also just to mention that there are various magazines that are fresh issues on the table today. The Sunday School is going to be a little bit different today, so the new instructor is on the table. Please pick one up if you normally get one. There is The Record, the main magazine. The Missionary Prayer Notes are also available for December, and a new issue of the Christian Witness to Israel Herald. Some very interesting reports from their outreach around the Olympics. So do pick up a copy of that. There's not many, but we can always get more if you need them. And the same goes for everything there. Please do clear the table if you possibly can. So these are the things just to emphasize with you this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. And it's in that acceptance that he gives us that we come to lift up his praise and worship today, and we turn to sing together first in Psalm 98, as you'll find it on page 129. Psalm 98, page 129, and we'll sing the first 5 stanzas, the verses marked 1-4. Psalm 98, verses 1-4. We'll sing a new song to the Lord for wonders he has done. His right hand and his holy arm the victory have won. The Lord declared his saving work and made it to be known to all the nations of the world. His righteousness is shown. And so let's sing through to the verse marked 4. Let's stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Sing a new song to the Lord, O wonders he has done. His right hand and his holy arm, the victory have won. The Lord declared his saving work and made it to be known.
Oh!
pray. We give thanks, O Lord, that you set this new song before us and upon our lips, a song to acknowledge you as the God who saves, the one who is mighty to save. We confess, O Lord, that we need your saving work, that we as part of this human race have gone far from you. We need your pardon. We need that you would receive us according to your great mercies on the foundation of the work that you yourself have accomplished, that work that you promised from the very beginning when we in our first parents rebelled against you, that you have upheld that covenant and your promise through all the generations, the years that have passed, and that we still hear it today. That promise that all who will come to you through your own way, your appointed way, will be received, that our sins will be forgiven, that we will be cleansed, we will appear righteous before you. We pray, Lord God, that we will indeed take note of that way that you have appointed through the person of your own eternal and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, who became Jesus, our Lord Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that he has become one of us, that he might take our place and be received for us, and all his obedience to be acknowledged before you, and that we might rest upon his righteousness and be heard in his name. We ask, Lord God, that we would each know that, each in our own individual hearts, that we would know the blessing of that forgiveness and an open way before our God, to whom we have to give account. We pray, Lord, that we would know it together, that we would know the togetherness and the fellowship with your people in every place today, all who do come to you through Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those who do not know him. We ask that throughout this world we know that there are many who do not confess his name, who do not follow the ways that he has set before us. And we pray, Lord, that your word and that knowledge of the gospel of Christ Jesus, that message of salvation, will indeed reach each one, that he would not be hidden, even as we ourselves have received the blessing of that message. And so we pray, Lord, that we will take good heed, that we will be wise in how we approach our daily lives. We pray that today will be of benefit for us in that. We ask that you would build us up in faith, that we would draw near to our God in the way that you have appointed, that we will know the working of your Spirit within us, and that we will know the refreshing of that as we are gathered here today. And so we ask that your Spirit would go before us, open the way. We pray that you would keep us in all that we do, that we would not be taken away from the things of true value, the things that last, the things that endure, that we would be set our eyes upon our Lord Jesus, set our hearts upon seeking our God. We pray that you would grant that answer and supply our every need, as you have done, and for which we return thanks. O Lord, you are worthy of praise, and we would offer it before you this morning, and ask that you would receive us and all things, pardoning sin in and through Christ and him alone. Amen. We join together with the church of the world and of the ages and confess our faith. I will read what is known as the Apostles' Creed. Do make it your own as you hear. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God receive and grant his blessing to follow as we confess our faith in him. We will turn now to our continuing readings in the book of Exodus, the telling of the people of Israel being taken out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And now they are meeting with God, and in chapter 26, Exodus chapter 26, he tells them where, how it is to be that they are to meet with him, the structure of the tabernacle or the tent in which he would meet with them. Exodus chapter 26. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen, and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps, put the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. And for the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them, they shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the most holy place and the most holy. Sorry, between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them. So far here, a great deal of detail for the building of that place where God chose to meet with his people. A very clear reminder, I think, that we ought not to go lightly into the worship of God. Do it as he tells us, even in such detail. It's not to please us, but it is that we might meet with our eternal God. That's what it was for Israel. Let it be so also for us today. God bless his word to us. We meet our God through his Son, Christ Jesus. And there is a psalm that foretells this in Psalm 2. We'll sing together. Psalm 2 on page 2. If the Lord had made known to the people of Israel how to build his tabernacle, he's made it known to the nations, my chosen king I have installed. In verse 6, we'll begin there through to the end of the psalm. The Lord has made it known to them. My chosen king I have installed on Zion, my own holy hill. He is the one whom I have called. And through to the end of the psalm, Psalm 2. Let's stand again to sing.
The Lord has made it known to them, my chosen king I have installed. On Zion, my own holy hill, he is the one whom I have called. The king then solemnly declares, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. You gave your father life because you are
few minutes with the children, especially at the moment, if I may. Just want to tell you about a long time ago. I just remembered the other day. A long time ago, I worked for a little while with on a friend's dairy farm. I think that looks like a dairy farm. Now, the problem is that all the children are sitting way at the back, so if you can't see it, that's your fault. You need to come up to the front and have a look. Do you know what a dairy farm is? What have I got in these pictures here? Do you know what you have on a dairy farm? I've got some pictures for a big clue. Cows, yes. Yeah, cows. I went looking for some pictures, and most of them, it shows just what amazing animals the cows are, because most of them, the frame is filled by the cow's nose, because the cow loves to see what's going on. It comes up and has a really good look. But they're wonderful animals, and on a dairy farm, you know what a dairy farm is? What does it do with these cows? Who knows what you do on a dairy farm with cows? Yeah? You milk them, don't you? There's a picture of a little milking shed. There were about 80 cows on this farm that I was on. It wasn't big, but it wasn't small either, so you couldn't do it by hand in the old way. So you had machines and a shed and so on. And what I was remembering, though, was that for these cows, thankfully it was the summer, so it was bright in the mornings, because you had to get up very early, because you'd have to go out to the fields and get all the cows in, and then get them through the milking shed, a few at a time, and that would take a couple of hours. And all that had to be done, would you believe, before breakfast. So it's nice and early. I was thinking about that because I thought, I grew up in a town, in a city, and didn't used to have to do that kind of thing. So it was a little bit difficult to get used to it and to start doing that kind of work. A little bit difficult. Maybe normally I would get up and like to have some breakfast first. Well, I couldn't do that. It wasn't about me. I wasn't allowed to have my breakfast until I'd looked after those cows. Because what happens with those cows is if you don't milk them on time, they get hurt. It gets bad for them. They get sick. So you had to look after them. And you'd have to do it again in the evening before you'd have your meal in the evening and so on. And especially in the winter, it's really very difficult getting up so early and out in the fields for the cows, the cattle. But you know something? You do that job and you're out there in the fields and you're looking after the cattle, and then you'd have to wash out the dairy yard and so on. It took a long time. And then you'd get home and you'd sit down and you'd have, it was a cooked breakfast. And it was such a breakfast. It was amazing. You really enjoyed it after you worked for those couple of hours. I was thinking that really what we're reading today and what we need to learn today is really like that, very much like that. We see something where Jesus was like that. He was offered something really amazing, and he could have just taken it, but he didn't. He had to get there through something much, much more difficult. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. He's looking after you and looking after me. And it meant that he had to suffer dreadful things. We confessed that a few minutes ago. He had to suffer those things, but he did it for you because he knew that that was even better. Everything was going to be even better afterwards. He went through it all. I just had a very simple little experience, an example. But with Jesus, it's so much bigger. But he calls us to do that for everything in our lives as well. To live for him. To live for our good as well. But it doesn't mean that everything, we get all the easy things and the nice things first. So we're going to look at that. We're going to turn to where Jesus was tempted to take the easy option. And we read in Matthew's Gospel. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 from verse 13 and through into chapter 4. We need to have the end of chapter 3 in our minds as well as we go into chapter 4. Matthew 3 at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan! For it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Just reading so far, seeking God's further blessing on his word as we do read. Let us now come again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, already in the opening, when we begin to meet Jesus as he stepped out into his work, we see how he was tested and we see how he was faced with a rebellious world. We pray, O Lord our God, that we will treasure him all the more when we consider what he has endured for us. And yet he has set these things aside and he has been obedient, that his obedience might now be credited to us if we come to him and to you, trusting in him. And we pray, O Lord our God, that we will grow in our understanding of him, of all that his life has meant, even to his suffering and his death, not just today, but through the next 6 days as well. That this will be the light that shines on our paths, that we will consider what he has given coming from glory. Indeed, that not that he should be baptized except to join with us. How much we need his washing and to be joined with him. And we ask, Lord God, that you would grant us further understanding of these things ourselves through the course of this morning. We pray that we will have thirsty hearts and souls, and that you will supply that thirst, and you will fill us where we are hungry. That we will know the importance of our souls and our spirit, that we will not just rest on the things that are bound by this world. But we pray too, O God, that this will be known by many more, praying for the various churches again in this town again. We pray that you would set your word out amongst your people, set your word out through your people, that we will be those who are ready to go out and to tell of this remarkable person and all that he has done for us. We pray for the world around us in all its turmoil of different kinds in different places, where there is open conflict and violence, places in the Middle East. We commend these places to you, Lord, and pray that you, as the God of heaven and earth, will overrule, that you will set the firm hand of peace upon the troubled hearts of men. We pray that we might know it also in our own land, the many questions that come before us, the many ways in which issue is taken with the wrongdoing of men, and yet so little answer is provided. And we pray, Lord God, that your people especially will be especially humble to acknowledge where we ourselves have fallen short and failed our nation, where we have not been light to the communities around us. We ask, O Lord, that you would yet stir your people, that it will be found that Christ does live still in this earth by his Spirit and his people, that Christ is to be desired. There is none like him. We pray, Lord, that it will be a renewed hope, one that is founded upon that assurance of his coming again, even to receive those whom he has purchased unto his glory. We ask, Lord, especially that you would be with those many multitudes around the world who confess his name and suffer for it. We thank you, Lord, for their testimony by that suffering, even as we think on his bearing the burdens even to the cross. We pray that you would uphold them, that they might know strength, that they would be renewed in faith, that they may be able to remember that this is your special day and be refreshed by that thought, where they may be imprisoned, where they may be isolated, some perhaps even tortured, and those who do go to death for his name's sake. We pray, O Lord, for them. We pray for those who minister to them, and ask that they might be especially enabled, equipped by your Spirit for that work. We ask, O God, that in every endeavor, every work that is especially engaged in to make the good news known concerning Christ, that you will grant that upholding and recognition of the need of enduring and patience, and your supply of that need as well. We pray for all your people, that we would take to heart that characteristic of your disciples, to make others to tell of the one who has loved us so freely and given himself for us. We pray now that you would continue to watch over us in what we do here. Pray that it will be that sufficient food for what lies before us in our lives. We pray that you will supply for us and those whom we love, those who are part of our fellowship but not able to be here today, and everyone in their different needs. We ask, Lord, that you would uphold them where they might be ill or in pain, that through such suffering they might also be drawn to set their need before you and their hope in you. Watch over us now, we would ask, O Lord, and do take sin far from us, and all these things to your glory, as we would seek in and through Christ Jesus our Lord, and for his sake. Amen. Let us join to sing together again in this time in Psalm 119 at verse 105, section 14, page 163. Psalm 119, page 163. Section marked 14, verses 105 to 112. Your word's a lamp that shines before my feet. It is a light that guides me on my way. The oath that I have taken, I've confirmed that all your righteous laws I will obey. O Lord, you know that I have suffered much. Preserve my life according to your word. And so on through to the end of that section, verse 112. Let's stand again to sing.
Your word's a lamp that shines before my feet. It is a lamp and light before all my way. The oath that I have taken, I confirm, and all your righteous laws I will
according to Matthew in chapter 4, especially giving attention to what we count as the third great temptation that we have recorded, the great temptation of Jesus by the devil. From verse 8 through to 10 in particular. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" "Do it my way," Satan said to the woman in the garden, "and you'll be like God." "Do it my way," Satan said to Jesus on the high mountain, "and you can have all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." "Do it my way, do it our way," the world says to us. The world, as in all who continue under the rule of Satan, because yes, it is his rule wherever God's way and will is not kept. "Do it my way," Satan says to the world, "and you can have so much." But he didn't tell the woman that she would lose her righteousness and her soul until she put her trust in God's mercy again. He didn't need to tell Jesus what would happen, or did he? He doesn't tell men today that he doesn't have life to give us. That's someone else's to give. When the world says, "Do it our way, and you can have all these wonderful things," the world doesn't tell men that they only have the things of this world to give. They will insist that this is a great way, this is the better way, this is the easier way. But for what? The woman saw the fruit and she said, "It looks good, but for what?" Jesus might have looked on the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said, "It's magnificent. But if I take it this way, for what?" In the last few weeks, I've asked a few basic questions. If you could gain the whole world, but it means losing your soul, what do you have? If you will not trust in God, what pattern is there, what standard is there for life at all? Or what hope is there? And today, if you will not serve God, that's where I'm turn. I would like to set out on a project, as it were, to talk with you about living in God's way in daily life. But before we get there, before Jesus set out on his ministry, he had some major questions, these very same questions to answer. Are you as established as he is, so that you will know how to meet and receive God's word for daily life? These foundation questions, you might say, we could put it in, if you like, our language, whose way will you choose? And I'm not really going into absolutely everything of these verses. What I do want to draw to your attention is what's on offer here. And who makes the offer? But then also to think on who you are who receives that offer. What is on offer? First, to look at Jesus, what was on offer to him. He was offered, you could tell me yourself in verse 8, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Into verse 9, he said to him, all these things I will give you. This is what's on offer. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. That was the thing that was on offer. But written into it is also a means on offer. This is yours if you will fall down and worship me. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Isn't that what you, the Son of God, have come to get? Isn't that what your work is about as you have come amongst men here? I have it in my hands. Yes, Satan does have it in his hands to a large degree. He is the leader of the spirit that works against God in this world. It is in his hands. You've come to get it out of my hands, haven't you? That's effectively what Satan is coming at here with Jesus. And he says to him, well, that's what you want. That's what you're here for. It's yours. You can have what you want. We don't know if Satan knew what was ahead of Jesus. But he knew that Jesus had humbled himself beyond imagining. We can't imagine just what depths Jesus had come to out of eternal glory. But here's a way out. You've only just started, but you don't have to go on any further. You can have the kingdoms of the world and their glory right here and now. You can have it. Here's a way out from whatever it might be in front of you. Here's a way out. A more comfortable way. If you have to be humbled, if you have to be humiliated, if you have to suffer, if you have to live as these poor people live, these men, you won't have to go through all that. You don't have all that suffering ahead of you. Why bother with all that? I can give it to you. But sometime later, Jesus had this to say to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not thinking of the things of God, but the things of men." Satan's offer was not according to the things of God. That's not the way he thinks. He thinks against the things of God. What is on offer here? At a first glance, this is precisely what Jesus had come to gain. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. It is what he has come for. But not the way it's offered. What is on offer? Not the things of God. They're not, therefore, the things that turn to everlasting good. The glory that Satan offered to Jesus had its complications. It would not last. Jesus had already known eternal glory. He anticipated returning to eternal glory. He knew that this was not what was on offer. At face value, yes. Go beyond face value. We live in a world, our nation at least, our culture lives in a world that is largely to do with face value. Dig deeper for your own safety, for your own good. At face value, this looks fine. Jesus knew it wasn't. It was far from it. And that's the way it is for you and for me still. Jesus did do this to provide us. He went through this. He rejected the temptation because he was on the path to provide us with salvation. But here he also provides us with example. He shows us what to expect and he shows us how to respond. Much the same kind of offer is made to us every day. Much the same as it was with Jesus, as it was with Eve. Here's a better way. These are the things to be looked for, things to be filling your life with. Where does God's word come into it? Where does God's challenge on these things of men come into it? Satan's words were exactly right. Satan said to the woman too. He said, you'll be wise. Sounded great. Satan's words to Jesus, exactly right. In Revelation 11:15, we hear of the loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And surely the glory of the kingdoms was with that as well. Yes, the words were right, but something was missing. It didn't have God's interests at heart, and it didn't have the true interests of man at heart. On the surface it looked the same. The reality was something very different. An offer that falls short, but an offer also that added something. It would require something that was not appropriate. It would require this devotion, this worship to another, other than God. Satan himself invited and invites worship and service. That's really what worship is about, is to serve, to take another as our guide and our God in life. And Jesus' answer illuminates that and reminds us that there is only one who is to be worshipped, the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That, I think, effectively reminds us to be aware of who makes the offer. What is on offer? Many good things. 2 weeks ago I spoke about what a wonderful world we live in, made by God. It is absolutely glorious. Many, many good things given to us richly to enjoy, the apostle said. And Satan does take many of these things and offer them to us. The world, the spirit of the world, under his rule, his so-called light, takes these things and makes the offer. Many will say it's nonsense that the world follows the devil. But is it really? The only alternative is to be truly, fully devoted to God. And that's not the case. If you're not devoted to following God's instruction, who then? And it is the devil who has disrupted this world. And the world does take its lead from the ruler of this age. But this beautiful world has chased after things other than God. It's chased after things without God, trying to tear him, the giver, away from the gift. The world that we live in has become a stranger to their God. We are surrounded in our country by people saying, I don't believe in God. You can go to Africa and you find people following the ancestors. Go to the Far East and you have the Buddhists and the Hindus. And it's all about man. Or it's about the spirits within everything that's around you. You come closer and there are religions in this world that are focused entirely upon man's own personal works of looking for righteousness. But none of these are the way that God has set it out. But men would go after many other things and not follow as God sets out, the way that God sets before us. So who's making the offer? See through it. See behind it. You know these telephone calls that you get now and again, or people coming to the door trying to sell something, and they'll have an ID, or somehow or other they come across and they say, well, I can fix your PPI claim and so on. But let's double check. Who's doing this? Who's behind it? You would do that in daily life. If you saw a bargain on eBay, watch yourself. Will you get the support you need? Who's selling it? Who's offering? You do that. Well, do it. Follow it all the way through. And the offers of hope and and wonder in this world. Who's making them? The temptation continues, as it was with our first mother Eve and our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything but is the spirit of the world. Everything but what God tells us himself. The messages that we have all around us, instant fame, it dies like a flame. Wealth and health, the be-all and end-all. Make yourself number one and look after number one. Isn't that the way that things are in our age, our world? But who's pointing you in that direction? What are their interests? Are they the things of God? And the things of God, the thoughts of God, are thoughts of good and not evil. Not only who makes the offer, but consider who you are. Jesus did that too. He knew he belonged to God. He just had that assurance that was being questioned several times in these temptations, but that assurance back in chapter 3 that as he had been baptized, he was joined with men in that baptism, but also he was reminded that he had God's acknowledgement as his beloved son, and he had a special blessing of the Spirit who led him into that wilderness for temptation. But Jesus knew that he belonged to God. That was his identity. And as long as he heard something that was not with God, that was not setting out God's way, that was not going to be his way to go. Now, what about you? If you're not a believer, you still have this God. He is the God of the nations. He is the one who made you. He is the one who provides every need of your life. Yes, his way is different. His way may not seem to be quite so smooth as the other ways of life. It does mean stepping down to number two or less. That's only our natural level. It's where we want to be number one. We want to be our own God, the ruler of our own lives. It's there that chaos reigns. But better to be number two or lower than to be left for rubbish, which is what Satan and this world does, if that's your service. God's way in this world, Jesus is a prime example. You'll find it repeatedly through the Bible from the very beginning. Those who followed God's way did not have an easy way. And for you who are believers, don't expect it to be easy. Jesus shows us how it is. He had a great object to gain the kingdoms and their glory. But he knew that it had to be done through suffering, to earn it, as it were. And so it is, especially for the believer. There are all those great people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says of some of them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." It is a wonderful world. But the spirit that reigns in the world stands against God. And for that reason, it is a strange world. There are strangers in this world. One side or the other. And for you as a believer, this world is ruled by a contrary spirit. You do not belong here, as it stands. As it stands. When this world makes you an offer, friends who don't trust Christ say, "Do this with me." Your colleagues say, "You need that promotion." your career advisors from school. This is the way to make a success of your life. Within our families, who is offering what Christ offers? Because that's who you are, that's who you need to be if you believe in Christ. What is the offer? Take His instead. The offer of salvation to be released for something far, far greater. Think of it like this. Perhaps on the radio you'll hear an advertisement, and then at the very end they say, maybe subject to terms and conditions. So they gobble it away so that you miss it. You open up a document and you read the basics, and then there's a whole pile, 3 or 4 pages of small print, and you say, well, I suppose they mean the best. Let's just go with it. That's the devil's offers. That's the world's offers. The big, the great, the glamorous, to make you buy. And then the small print with its complications and its restrictions and its get-out clauses. They're not going to help you if you get into trouble. You know how it is with Christ and His offers? It's actually the other way around. What was small becomes large. He says, it's going to be tough. It's a narrow gate. It's a difficult way. But there is something great and good at the other end. He doesn't hide these things. It's plain to see. You will not be caught out. This book is full of it. It is a way that involves suffering to get glory. Or would you take the alternative, today's easier route, and suffer later? Paul said, if you are children of God, then you are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What is to be given to Him will be given to you, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And then he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You could put that into the mouth of Jesus facing that temptation. I consider that the sufferings of this present time don't any measure compare with the glory that comes through that suffering. The other day I was able to get out and rake some leaves, and I ended up with pain in both my shoulders because I wasn't used to it, but it was good to see that place clear of leaves. You do it all the time. You go through something tough to get something better at the other end. That's what Jesus said. I'm not taking the easy option. Your offer is not according to the things of God, which is not for the interests of men. I'm not going to take it. Be very clear that the spirit that does rule this world only has short-term interests, and they're not yours at all. You are more than short-term. That's why I ask, who are you? Think about who you are. You're more than short-term. You might not be able to visualize it. You might not be able to feel it. Doesn't make it any less real. Friends, be wise. Choose the way that does lead to eternal life. It will take you through the tough things now. But do you get that set? Get that very clear. I would take you again, whether it's to Jesus, and Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, you do this, but looking to Jesus, He endured the cross, gave His life. He endured the shame of all men. He was cast out. And there was, because there was a joy before Him. And I believe it is to take His people to Himself. Take Paul, who suffered more than most, on the brink of death a number of times. And he talks about these as light afflictions that bring a far greater weight of glory. Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I ask you, are the glories of this present time worthy to be compared with the pains that shall be revealed in you after this, if that's the way you choose? There's little I can say. I speak especially to those who say you trust in Christ. There's little I can say to you about how to live your life in the practical things that you meet day by day unless you have this well set. This was the foundation for Jesus going on to live a life that was transforming to the people who saw him, the people who heard him. Bear the burdens now. Set yourself to know that they will come, but they are worth it. Bear the burdens as strangers in this world, a world which will not see, will not understand, and will seek to set you off the mark, but will not offer you eternal good. But if you set yourself to that, you will then gain true blessing. When Jesus had this offer to get just what he wanted, what he had come for, was he foolish to decline it? He saw that it would bring greater pain if he took it. He saw that he himself would be separated from his God, his Father. He could not do it. He saw that it would leave his people abandoned, unsaved. And he suffered through all these things for the sake of the greater glory. Friends, rather be strange to the world than to God. And for this morning, just so far, may God set his blessing on his word in our hearts. Let us pray together. Lord, in the marketplace that we live in, with people urging us to buy this or that, not with money but with our lives, help us to hear what is true. Help us to see what is durable. That our thoughts will be the thoughts of God, seeking after God, your righteousness to be with you. Because, Lord, you give us a hope. You assure us by infallible promises that this may be ours. And we pray, O Lord our God, that you will be at work in each of our hearts, that all the more we would set ourselves to reject what is not of faith in Christ, what is displeasing to you, on account that that will also be unhelpful to us. Hear us, O Lord, that we confess our need, that these things don't come naturally to us. We are drawn aside so quickly. We pray that we would rather have an insight into your glory in and through Christ, your glory to be seen in him and his abundant, his just overwhelming mercy and grace to have come amongst us. And though righteous and holy in his obedience, yet to suffer and die. We pray that, O Lord, that we too might rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. We will be wise to take hold of the enduring things. May that bring glory to you, O Lord our God, and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask all for his sake. Do hear us again with pardon of sin. In his name alone. Amen. Our closing psalm this morning is Psalm 62. Psalm 62 on page 79. And over the page, first five stanzas, verses 1 through to 8. My soul finds rest in God alone. From him comes my salvation sure. My safety, fortress, sheltering rock, in him alone I am secure. And through to verse marked 8, to God's praise.
My soul finds rest in God alone, from him comes my salvation sure. My safety fortress shelter rock, in him
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.